Hello everyone and welcome to episode number 36 of the P-Geek Podcast. And as always, as I always say, thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune in. Now in today's episode, we're going to be diving right into the world of the quantified self. And you may be wondering, what is that all about? I mean, you may have heard the term before, or maybe you haven't, and you're sort of wondering how it relates to physical education. Well, today's episode is all about the quantified self. It's about how I've experienced it, what the sort of things I'm doing to be part of this new sort of phenomenon that we're now very much capable of being able to be part of, and just sort of the implications it has for physical education and health moving forward. Now, if you want to grab a list of all the links and resources and everything mentioned throughout today's episode, you can head along to thepeergeek.com/36, where everything will be listed, including a full episode transcript. In case you don't have a pen or paper handy, you can head along and you can know that I've taken all the notes for you. So let's dive into today's content. So what exactly is the quantified self? Well, essentially, it's all about this new movement. Well, it's not really new, but it is still growing, which is all about tracking the metrics of daily life in terms of, you know, food, exercise, sleep, etc. And using various tools, such as our mobile devices and smartphones and accelerometers and heart rate monitors and so forth, to grab all that data and bring it into some sort of easy to understand sort of system, so that we can use it to inform our health behavior. Now, I was first introduced to the whole idea of the quantified self a couple of years ago, and I'd sort of look back in retrospect and realize that there was this real sort of appreciation for this sort of data in my life, going right back to before I really had a mobile device. Now, my very first ever sort of experience of the quantified self was, you know, in the early days of pedometers, and sort of just using one of those for the first time gave me this, albeit very small, set of data which I could use to sort of understand how active I'd been. Flash forward, you know, a little bit, a couple of years after that, and I got my very first heart rate monitor. I still remember buying it. It had a watch, the heart rate strap, and I used to wear it when I exercised, and just being able to see my own heart rate and how it sort of changed throughout the activity was incredibly motivating, incredibly exciting, and certainly helped me get to the stage where, where I could seek the most improvement. Eventually, this led me down the line of finding mobile devices, and the mobile devices these days are certainly in abundance, and they're ever increasing, ever getting better, more connected, being able to sophisticate, you know, capture more data and present that to you in a more meaningful way. So very much has shifted from being this realm which was just for people who were, you know, interested in technology and interested in the latest gadgets and so on, to now being something that everyone has the capacity to be able to do. And whether or not you're aware of it or not, your smartphone is pretty much guaranteed already tracking some sort of feature set for you that is all about sort of contextualizing the life that you're living. Now, when we get a hold of this data, we can start to understand a lot about what's going on. And for me, the attraction is very much around how can we use this information to help further improve physical education, students' learning outcomes, our health outcomes, and so on. Now, you may be sitting there wondering, you know, why do we bother to do with this sort of stuff? I mean, we existed for many, many years without this data. Why is there sort of a desire and a need to, get it now? And I think for me, this is really an important thing that has entered my life, and I know for sure that it's definitely worked to support continual improvement. Now, I think the person who puts this best is Gary Wolf. Now, he was introduced to me via a TED Talk that I discovered a couple of years ago, and it featured on the blog post that I made around this topic in 2013. So I'm going to give you a brief snippet of how Gary describes the quantified self and the sort of role that it plays in continual improvement.
I got up this morning at 6:10 a.m. after going to sleep at 12:45 a.m. I was awakened once during the night. My heart rate was 61 beats per minute. My blood pressure 127 over 74. I had 0 minutes of exercise yesterday, so my maximum heart rate during exercise wasn't calculated. I had about 600 milligrams of caffeine, zero of alcohol, and my score on the Narcissism Personality Index, or the NPI 16, is a reassuring 0.31. We know that numbers are useful for us when we advertise, manage, govern, search. I'm going to talk about how they're useful when we reflect, learn, remember, and want to improve.
Now, that last point that Gary makes is particularly important for schools and education. It's no secret that data and numbers and all that sort of stuff is and has a place in the school environment. And, you know, I can't think of the amount of times that we have sat through and looked through data related to academic student, you know, performance across my teaching career. And in many ways, lots of that data is sort of inverted and, you know, it's just made up and sort of analyzed based on cohort averages and all this sort of stuff. But we are actually getting to a point now where we can get actual raw data and information about all sorts of things that students are doing. And for me, that is really exciting stuff. Now, if I go and focus particularly on physical education, the opportunities here to clearly show students what it is that they're doing, be able to track it over time, be able to show the improvements that your program has made is enormous. And I don't think as a physical education profession that we're fully aware of the sort of possibilities that exist when we start to think about this quantified movement. Now, for many years, it would have been nice to be able to do quantified self and have students with devices that can track them and, you know, give and report data to teachers and you know, et cetera, and parents. But the cost factor was really sort of disadvantageous to making that a reality. You know, today, however, that's not an excuse. I mean, you can get an accelerometer that basically does a lot of the function that we're going to be talking about, and it's already in the device that your students probably have, which is their mobile phone. I mean, for a couple of dollars, it now costs to get the actual hardware that is an accelerometer that can go into literally any device that you might be using. And you think about what that's going to mean as we sort of progress down the future, it's certainly an exciting world. When we start to think that the number, one of the major inventions and one of the major streams of innovation that's going to happen in our world in the next sort of 10, 15 years is that on the use of sensors and networks and being able to sense and track data from all sorts of things is only going to be increased and heightened. And that means a lot for us when we're trying to look at how we can introduce and get valuable data about students and programs effectively and be able to use that to improve our program. So for me, at the moment, what sort of things am I doing to sort of quantify my own life and in turn make improvements? Now, more recently, this has taken form of me purchasing a Fitbit Charge HR accelerometer. Basically, it is. It's wrist-borne. You put it on your wrist, obviously, and you connect it to your mobile device or your computer with the attached dongle. And what it does is it actually tracks the amount of steps that you make across the course of the day. It shows you sort of the intensity of your day, sedentary time, lightly active, etc. And it gives you also the ability to track your heart rate across the course of a 24-hour period. Now, I was really attracted to the Fitbit Charge HR. There are two varieties, but the HR version, really attracted to it because of the heart rate function. I mean, I've had heart rate monitors all my life. They've all been sort of chest strap devices, and they've, you know, been something that you've consciously got to put on. But the ability to have something that, you know, tracks your heart rate reasonably accurately to a mobile device across a 24-hour period is revolutionary. Now, if you think about that in terms of health terms, you know, you can eventually have it sort of set up so that, and we'll have it set up so that, you know, our heart can be monitored remotely via you know, a professional who can intervene into your health before it becomes an issue. Now, in terms of a physical education setting, imagine if every single student had access to a Fitbit Charge HR, where, you know, throughout the entire day, their heart rate is being tracked or monitored, or their physical activity is being tracked or monitored. And we can use that to sort of look at how active they are, how engaged they are in physical activity, and be able to provide personal sort of feedback to them based on the information that we're receiving. Now, I'm incredibly excited about the innovation that's happening in this area. There's so many competing products. We've obviously got the Apple Watch, which has, you know, opened up a Pandora's box of possibility related to tracking and quantified self. You can go in the line of getting the Jawbone, which is a similar device competing in the same space. However, I'm really excited about some of the, you know, complete mobile devices and experiences that you can get simply by visiting the App Store. So I'm going to share with you a couple of mobile apps that I personally have used to quantify the activity I do, report it to, you know, to some sort of central web space, and be able to use it to get data that I can, you know, seek improvement from. Now, in the early days, I discovered an app called Runkeeper. Now, Runkeeper was one of the very first iPhone apps to ever come out and is still one of the most highly downloaded health and fitness apps that's ever been available. And it is really impressive to see its sort of progression and how it sort of worked to become a record-keeping tool for everything that you do, such as running, walking, cycling, etc. Now, Runkeeper was amazing, but eventually the people who brought that to life came along and they released an app called Breeze. Now, Breeze is a pedometer, walk tracker, activity logger, sort of all wrapped into one. And the best part about it is it does it all automatically. So all you need to do is simply place your mobile device in your pocket and just get walking, get active. And basically it keeps track automatically or auto-magically of the activity that you do. It awards you with badges and helps keep you accountable related to the goals that you want to achieve, and sort of ties that all up into a social, you know, stream where you can see and follow other people that you're connected to. And overall, you actually get to see your progress grow because you've got an activity profile, and on that profile, you can see the amount of steps and how they correlate with particular days, total activity time, total steps across the entire history of using the app, and it does this all automatically. You don't have to think about anything. And that's really one of the exciting things about this technology. I mean, it's not necessarily a conscious thing that you have to decide. So take all that aspect out of it. You've got a device that gives you great data that you can use. Now, if you want to check out Breeze, you can head along to thepeergeek.com/Breeze, where you can head along and download the app. Now, one of the other apps that I'm a really big fan of, which is very similar to Breeze in many ways, is Human. Now, Human is much in the same way that Breeze tracks physical activity and so on. Human does it all wrapped around the guise of not the total number of steps that you want to do, but it's trying to get you to be active for 30 minutes per day. That's the goal. So it keeps track of your activity time in minutes rather than sort of, you know, total steps. And the whole point of it is to try and be active for at least 30 minutes per day as an adult. If you're you know, a child, it's 60 minutes, a teenager, etc. But this Human app is all wrapped around the numbers, which we probably understand more than anything, and time. Steps are less, a little bit more difficult to sort of quantify. But if we say that we've been active for 30 minutes or 38 minutes, then we can definitely clearly understand what that means and how that sort of translates into improved health and so on. So Human is a really impressive app. It has a really great user experience that shows you with simple ticks whether you met your 30 minutes per day or whether you didn't. And all you need to do is download the app, make sure that it's on and using your GPS to track your accelerometer to track that data and the motion coprocessor. And then forget about it and just know that you're going to be getting reports saying whether or not you met your goal or whether you didn't. Now, if you want to get that app, you can head along to thepeergeek.com/human and it will redirect you to the store for download. Now, a couple of other apps which I've played with and enjoyed over the last few years include Sleep Cycle. Now, there's an abundance of sleep tracking apps on the app stores. I'm sure all the Fitbit devices and a lot of the smart tracking wristwatches and so on will track your sleep. However, if you don't have any of those, then you can download Sleep Cycle or some of the other sleep tracking apps and simply place your mobile device on the side or corner of your bed, or even in some cases underneath your pillow, and it can use the accelerometer and the gyroscope to actually track the quality of the sleep that you have. Now, I recommend that if you're doing this, you switch off the device from Wi-Fi and 3G and just have and use the accelerometer, which is all that's usually needed to track the quality of the sleep. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you're going to see a graph that shows you the sort of stages of the sleep cycle that you've gone through. And the way it does that is by interpreting, you know, if you're really restless, you move around a lot. And in light sleep phases, you also do the same. That movement, even if it's really subtle, is registered with the device because of the accelerometer's sort of sensitivity. And then it translates that into low sleep or, poorer sleep quality. In the really deep sleep phase, which is the restorative part, which happens usually in the early morning, we don't tend to move. And in fact, we are actually paralyzed, as it were. And that there can be basically tracked as well, because obviously there's no movement occurring on the device. Now, the app is actually sensitive enough to be able to track, you and not get sort of, affected by the results of someone else who might be in the same bed, etc. And you can use that data when you wake up to sort of see the quality of the sleep that you're having, which is really impressive stuff. Now, the other app, which I am seriously excited about and I think has had lots of press over the last few years, is called Optimized. Now, Optimized is really impressive. Basically, it sort of works under the underpin that everything that you do in life is connected in terms of whom you meet, and everything else is sort of wrapped up into one big sort of connected web. Now, this app basically analyzes all of that data across all these different sort of metrics to basically find ways that you can improve. And the exciting thing is it keeps track of everything in your life, you know, things like sleep, work, the sports you play, and it learns from that and actually starts to interpret the data that you get. And you can get insights after about 7 days of use on the sorts of things that you can do to improve your health. For example, how does your work affect your sleep? And how does your sleep affect your mood? And it looks at all of these sorts of things to give you this sort of complete picture about your life. And that's basically the quantified self in a nutshell. I mean, using this data to basically seek improvement. Now, I definitely recommend heading along to thepeergeek.com/optimized to download the app and start using it. Try it out for 7 days and see what sort of recommendations you can sort of get out of the app itself and sort of the fun that you can have sort of tracking the various progress over time. And that brings us to the end of episode 36, a little bit shorter than normal. That's entirely fine though. There's so much value wrapped up in the quantified self movement, and there's a whole abundance of apps. And the whole point of this episode was just to get you thinking about quantified self and what you think it means for your life and the people growing up. Now, I've spoken with a lot of people over the last few years who say things along the lines of, you know, why would you want to have any of this sort of information and be knowing about it? There's a twofold sort of response to that. I think, you know, it's through data that we can seek improvement. And unless you know about something, you're often unable to make changes towards improvement. But it's also worth mentioning that people growing up in today's day and age, you know, I'm talking about the students that we all teach, grow up realizing that this sort of data is made possible to them. And for us who've grown up in a time when that wasn't the case, it's almost like we look at it and think, well, we didn't need that. We didn't have that. So why do we need it? And the reality is that, you know, we're looking at it very, very different perspective than they are. So I think it's very much worthwhile pursuing it, looking at how we can sort of introduce this into learning outcomes. And if you think about what Gary said earlier on in the podcast, it's definitely all about trying to seek that continual improvement. So for me, I'm going to continue down the quantified self path, and I really look forward to hearing what you guys are doing. If you have any questions related to the quantified self or anything else related to physical education and technology, then send me an email, jared@thepegeek.com, or get in touch via any of the social media networks. If you have any questions that you would like answered on the show, then you can do that by heading to thepegeek.com/voicemail, and I'd love to use your questions in an upcoming episode. All right, until next time, stay safe, keep learning, and I'll see you next time for episode 37.